You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast. All roads lead to the Purple Project Podcast.
Triple P is all about the happenings across Kansas State Athletics in Manhattan, Kansas.
Football, basketball, and everything else in between. K-State is ready to compete with top teams among the Big 12 Conference.
The kickoff of the Purple Project Podcast starts right now. Here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
The Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition is on the air once again. K-State Nation episode 113 of the Weekly Edition of Triple P is on the air. Eddie Greer III here in Manhattan, Kansas, coming to you on this another August evening, August 11th, 2022. And I bring on my co-host in just a moment. For those of you new to the podcast, welcome on board. This podcast is all about covering all things Kansas State sports. And of course, you can find the Purple Project Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are quickly winding down to the kickoff September 3rd here at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and a couple more podcasting platforms out there as well. And of course, make sure you tell a fellow K-Stater about this podcast, whether that's a student, big K-State fan here in Manhattan or out of state as well. Make sure you pass the word along. The Purple Project Podcast rolling in to a new season of K-State football as well. And a big thank you to Rally in the Valley, which went down over the weekend last weekend. I was not here over the weekend. I was in Kansas City most of the weekend. But that was a success. That car show was a success. Hopefully, unfortunately, we did not get an interview pre-car show. But hopefully, thinking a little bit ahead, hopefully I can get either one or all three of those folks that are in charge of that event to come on the podcast at at some point during the fall, hopefully soon. But we do, here before, again, quickly before I bring on my co-hosts from out west, we do have two episodes coming next week. Monday, actually, we'll be recording because we're going to have a guest, special guest on this podcast. And of course, next Thursday, we will have our regular show. So, which means, what do you look for? You mean the special guest interview will be posted middle of the week next week. And of course, our usual show, the Weekly Edition, will be on Friday as we get back in the flow of posting these weeklies on Friday, the day before the K-State football game. 22 days after recording this podcast away from kickoff against Sandy. Oh boy, I said. South Dakota. Oh, I'm so used to saying San Diego. And speaking of San Diego, let's go ahead and bring on Alex Aiden, my co-host of the Purple Project Podcast. I'm going to get in trouble with South Dakota. Alex, what's going on?
You know, Eddie, I wish we were playing San Diego State. Yeah. I mean, you know, I would be here for that. So, hey. We want to get them on a schedule. I'm here for that. You know, we want to, you know, get them on the schedule because they come with a pack of schools in a realignment move. I'm here for that as well. We won't go down the realignment rabbit hole.
No.
It is quite the hole right now. But all is everything is good out here. In San Diego, a little toasty. It's a little. A little bit toasty out here at the moment, but I'm not going to complain about heat in August. People that are currently in Kansas, so mentioned we're going to have an exciting week next week on the podcast. So definitely looking forward to that and being able to get the viewers some good stuff, some good content, and also have big news in the basketball. Trail this within this last week. I know you had a good daily on it. RJ Jones committing to K-State, and so I think K-State gets the highest paired backcourt when it comes to recruits that I think they've ever had, and it was like their third or fourth best pair ever in the recruiting analytics age. And so now you've got your number six and number seven best recruits in the analytics recruiting metrics age as well. So huge get for K-State, so you got R.J. Jones, and I'm sure we'll probably talk about that a little bit later in the show, but definitely big for them. Now we're kind of waiting, Eddie, to see if they're able to land Keontae Johnson on this particular team. Selling before the podcast, sounds like it's between K-State and Western Kentucky, and it is pretty torn, but we'll see. You know, we'll see what happens there with that. But it was also interesting. I heard the question posed earlier in the week, would you have rather landed, or when you saw the cat signal from Jerome Tang, would you have rather had R.J. Jones? Would you have rather have been R.J. Jones or Keontae Johnson? And I heard an argument for both. But I said R.J. Jones because I was thinking long-term with the program. Jones is going to be the player that's going to have the bigger impact for them, because you can pair him with a guy like Day-Day and you could have that dynamic backcourt for multiple years. I think that's something that's really valuable, especially with some of these classes that are really shaping up to be some good teams. And to be 100% honest, Eddie, no offense to this upcoming basketball team, but I don't expect them to be a Big 12 title contender. I don't expect them to be a deep NCAA tournament contender. Like, that's not what I expect from them. If they get Keontae Johnson, I think it's a huge boost. There's no doubt about it. If he stays healthy, which is a very big if, but if he would stay healthy, I apologize, my cat was getting on the backboard of my bed. My backboard, that's on my bed. But if he stays healthy, which would be a big if, then he would absolutely provide a huge boost to K-State, make them significantly better. It'd be a huge deal. We would come on here, we'd be celebrating, I'd be having a drink, and all would be good in the world, Eddie. But even with Keontae on the team, hard for me to envision K-State competing for the Big 12 and making a legit deep run in the NCAA tournament. You know, it's just the Big 12 is so good. K-State's turnover, so many players. It seems like it would be quite the task. So that's why I thought R.J. Jones. But it was fun. It was a fun little thought, comparing those guys. But and also, Eddie, look, we're less than 30 days away from football, so you got to be excited about that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. and one more housekeeping thing real quick before I elaborate on that even more. Of course, this Pro Project Podcast is, once again, with a new promotional sponsor for the next few weeks. It's presented to you by Cons this 2022, which will take place the weekend of the Missouri game here at home. But it'll be taking place, that event will be taking place in St. George, Kansas. It is being put on by my folks at the Backroads Broadcasting Crew. They are putting that together. They've started playing that event weekend a few weeks ago, and they were promoting that on their Facebook pages, and I shared it. So again, that's going to be going on the weekend of the Missouri game. You come out, go out there after the game and enjoy some food and fun. There's going to be some art vendors there, crafts, games, and some country artists will be out there. As well, I don't know who, if you ask me that. I'm trying to get that from one of my friends now. So that's why I've been...
Not acceptable, Eddie. You've got to know right now. You've got to know right now. You're not properly promoting this event, Eddie, if you don't have the performers.
Well, I'm trying to get the answer out of them. So, how I'm supposed to know if we got people coming out of town that want to know, and we don't know who the country artists are. So I know there's some big names out there. So that's some heavy hitters, but well, we'll even know.
And I'll say this, Eddie. There have been times where the musical talent has dictated whether or not I attend an event. So, just saying. I don't know. There might be some people out there saying, I'm curious. I'm intrigued by this music, these artists.
Yeah, absolutely. So I will get on that for sure. But yes, Kansas 2022, September 10th, Again, I've been saying it for the last couple weeks on this podcast. That's going to be a humongous weekend surrounding that event here. And here before, well, actually, I'm going to go ahead and stay with basketball since Alex kind of started it. I'm going to finish it. That's a good observation there on Keyonte Johnson, whether he... Now, I was not aware of that was another school who was involved. Well, I should know better by now. But Western Kentucky, that's interesting that Keyonte is deciding between that and K-State. He's torn. I mean, I don't know much about...
All according to Derek Young, by the way. Give Derek Young the credit for that. That was a report from Derek Young a couple days ago where he said that. And said that USC was in there a little bit, but he got to feel, he and Grant Flanders, who we know Flando, he and Grant Flanders were getting the vibe that USC really wasn't much of a threat. It was really between K-State and Western Kentucky, and that he was really really torn in the decision. And this is me speculating, but what I took from it was Western Kentucky probably was offering more on the NIL front, but K-State was able to probably offer a little more in regards to, like, hey, you're going to be playing in the best conference, you're going to have a chance to actually, you know, play against the top tier schools, you're going to get more exposure, you're going to have a chance to play in the NCAA tournament, like things that you may not get at Western Kentucky, even though you may get more money. So I think that may be what kind of got him torn, but who knows?
Yeah, so credit goes out to, once again, Derek Young of K-State Online, part of that three-mile pod with John Kurtz and Cole Manbeck. I did listen to their latest episode before finishing out, planning out our episode tonight as well.
I did too while I was working out, buddy. Got a workout in, listen a little bit on three, talking about Avery Johnson with him.
Yep, that's right. Yes, sir. So definitely go check that out. Shameless plug, but still, that's good stuff right there as well. But yeah, thinking about the future for K-State basketball, men's basketball anyways, if the focus is on 2023, like we've been talking about all summer long, you want the long-term impact there. I'm with you. I'll go with RJ Jones as well, for sure, because that's a long-term impact there, especially you're trying to get... you're trying to lay the groundwork. If you're Coach Jerome Taylor, you've been doing all year long. Well, not all year long. All summer long. Since you hit Manhattan, Kansas, came to Manhattan, Kansas, you laid the groundwork. That's what you're still doing. Him and his coaching staff have done a great job bringing on these four-star, five-star recruits, even for visits, and even now starting to land some of these guys, especially the four-stars. Direct bunt at that, four-star recruits landing in. That's two times in a row with Dai Ames that you mentioned a couple weeks ago on this podcast as well. That's a future backcourt that I mentioned on the daily this week as well. So K-State fans, especially you guys are basketball fans out there, folks, we should be excited for the future there. So RJ Jones, big get for K-State there. We'll see what the Keyonte Johnson verdict. It could be any moment for sure. I mentioned on the episode last week, I have followed him at his time at Florida, so I would love to have him here. And that's a big if he's healthy. That's the big keys. Two, three star Astro stars there as well. So that'll be huge now. Yeah, definitely. So we'll keep our eyes on, ears to the ground on that, and I will definitely have something when they have something for sure on that. So
and quickly, Eddie, I will say too, kind of what the counter would be to, hey, why you want Keyonte more than RJ Jones? I think the counter would be, well, you know, you want this year's K-State team to be as good as possible. Excuse me, you want to be as good as possible because the last few years have been not good. Not good in the basketball world. K-State has got to drum up excitement around this basketball program. You know, because the fans need it more than anything. We saw half-empty Bramblage last year. Fans disengaged. had three-fourths empty Bramblage at times. Fans completely disengaged. You know, they need a jolt. I mean, they absolutely need a jolt to get that Octagon of Doom back, to get this to get this fan base back and to win this fan base over. And while they're there right now, you need to keep that momentum going. You can't halt it with a crappy team. Fans will lose interest real quick. But I think even the bigger argument is that you want to be as good as possible so you can get momentum on the recruiting trail. Because, you know, while K-State is doing a fantastic job on the recruiting trail, kudos to Jerome Tang and their team. But the fact that, if K-State can be good and they can be as good as possible as first year, that can help them even more recruiting and bringing in these big-time names, these 4- and 5-star recruits, the players that they really want, be able to win some of these recruiting battles that they maybe haven't been able to win here in this first cycle. And, you know, Keontae Johnson can help you do that by kind of elevating the team this year. So I think it's a valid argument, and I hear the argument, and I think that for certain players, it may make more sense to say, oh, I'd rather have Keontae. But when you're looking at a player like RJ Jones, Eddie, he's a 4-star, top 100 player. He's the best player in the state. He's going to be the best player in the state of Utah this year. He was in Texas last year and was a top 5 player in the state of Texas. When you're talking about a player of that magnitude, and you've already got a top 50 player in Day-Day Ames, and they also two players that you would assume would complement each other really well, because Day-Day Ames, his strengths are his ball handling and his passing and his drive, driving the rim, driving the hoop, and getting buckets that way. Then you got a guy like RJ Jones, who that's not necessarily his strength, but his strength is shooting the basketball. He's never met a shot he doesn't like, and he shoots it all over the place. He's an amazing shooter, so you would assume that those two would play perfectly off of each other. And they're two of the best in the country at those things. So pair them together, same class, that makes perfect sense. So for me, it's just so hard to say, I'd rather have Keontae and jeopardize part of that, because I think K-State could have something really special in that backcourt. And then you get a coach like Jerome Tang and that coaching staff to coach them up. That's something that could be really, really neat to see. And also, Eddie, look, they're also going after a couple guys. I forget the first name. His first name, I think it's McKeeb. I don't know if I'm butchering that or not. I think it's McKeeb. But anyway, he's a kind of a budding star who he doesn't have a ranking yet, but
I saw that.
A lot of bigger name schools are going after him. And again, I've heard some K-State insiders say that this could be a player that ends up as another 4-star type of guy. He definitely has that talent. K-State looks at him like that. Well, K-State made his top 5. He's coming, I think, the weekend of Mizzou. He's going to announce in late September where he's going. So you could potentially land another big-time player there. Sounds like Ole Miss is in that too. But again, I just don't, with that momentum that you got 2023, Eddie, I think that's more important than 2022, because when I look at this K-State team, if they don't get Keontae Johnson, I still see a team that I think is going to be significantly better. And I don't know if they'll make the NCAA tournament or not, but I think at the very least they would be a competitive basketball team in the Big 12 that could at least be in the bubble conversation, you know, and you're not going to get it all back in 1 year. So that's kind of, again, my thought process. And while I see you wanting to win immediately with a guy like Keontae, and I think that's a legitimate argument, I think that K-State's could have potentially some really special years, 2023 and beyond, and wouldn't really want to jeopardize that by losing a player of the magnitude of RJ Jones.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly with Eddie Greer and Alex Aiden.
Turning our attention to K-State women's soccer real quick. I got my dates mixed up. That'll be over the weekend. But last night, as we're recording this podcast, Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden, episode 113 of Triple P Weekly Edition, K-State women's soccer wrapped up their preseason last night. A 2-1 loss to Wyoming in Laramie, Wyoming, with Andrea Moeller scoring the only goal for K-State. Wyoming struck first in the first half, led 1-0, and K-State tied it, answered it with the Moeller goal there. Wyoming answered back again. More on this this weekend And then K-State had a couple of chances to tie up this game, couldn't do it, and they lose their final preseason game 2-1. So K-State competitive there against a very good, talented team in Wyoming. They wrapped the preseason schedule, and now a week from tonight, it's going to go down. K-State women's soccer will open up their seventh season here in Manhattan, Kansas. They will host Northwestern coming to town, Boozer Family Park, in prime time next Thursday night, which is going to already be a big show. When we start recording, this match should be over, and we'll talk about it a little bit over the air a little bit as well. So Alex there, they beat Missouri State last weekend, and they lose here yesterday to a very good Wyoming team. I'm going to go over some two stats real quick. Andrea Mola, the freshman, she had three shots. One of those was on goal, and she, of course, scored when she put it between the goalposts there. Kyla Goings, one of the veterans of the K-State soccer team there, she had two shots as well, and one of those shots was on goal and missed as well. Alex, quickly, your thoughts for K-State soccer a week from tonight as we record this podcast. Host Northwestern.
Yeah, you know, Eddie, I think this is their biggest season yet. You know, I really do. I think that, you know, you mentioned it. You know, they're going into their seventh season since the soccer team was created. Back when I was there, I think my senior year in 2015. And so going into their seventh season, or either way, they're in their seventh season, and I think this is their biggest season yet, because I don't want to say it's put up or shut up time with Mike Vigna. I think that he's done a great job of really establishing a program from the ground up, which is incredibly difficult. And I don't know how many people remember when we were bouncing the hypotheticals off. When Fitz had his daily delivery about possibly getting rid of the baseball team and you know, getting a softball team and then a wrestling team and getting rid of the tennis team, I think. And when we were talking about that, one of the things we discussed on the podcast was, and go back and listen to it, by the way. I'm sorry, I don't remember which one it was, so you'll have to do the archives, but it's there somewhere.
It's there.
One of the things we discussed was how hard it is to build a new program from the ground up. It's so incredibly difficult to do. And when you look at soccer, you would assume that would have been, I don't want to say as easy as any, but Kansas is a very rich soccer state because of Kansas City. Kansas City is such a rich soccer city where you've got really some phenomenal recruits there right in your backyard. A lot of fan interest as well. And so, it's really difficult to do. And so, you know, Mike Devaney's done a great job building that program up, but they're at the point now, Eddie, where they need to take their game to the next level. At some point, they're going to have to step it up and be more competitive in the Big 12 than they've been over the first 6 years. You know, obviously, it was going to take them time to get there. But you mentioned you're entering year seven. At this point, I think that they need to be competing in the Big 12. I really do feel that way. So I think it's a huge season for them, to see if they can get, really into the thick of the Big 12 and really be able to compete with some of these other schools. And, if they can't, I think Gene might have to, reevaluate things, look at it and see if they maybe do need to go in a different direction with the soccer program or not, because you'll be 7 years in and hadn't been really that competitive in Big 12 play yet. Look, you're 7 years in. That's not a shot at all. I think Mike Domenico's, again, I think he's done a great job.
Right, yeah.
But they haven't been competitive. They haven't ever really been competitive in Big 12 play. And they just haven't gotten their game to that level. And you mentioned it. They're going into year seven. You know, you're 3 years away from this thing being a decade. You know, at some point, they got to take that next step. And so I'm hoping it's this year. Really, long story short, I would love to see them take that step this year, really be more competitive in Big 12 play. I think Northwestern, right off the bat, is a great kind of litmus test. See where you're at. You're going to be wasting no time, getting into the thick of things. I think we talked about that a few episodes ago as well. Start at Northwestern at home, a Big Ten school. That's going to be a test right off the bat for them. So I'm eager to see the way that they handle that and the way that they play in that first game. And hopefully, I mean, they can get some momentum here early on in this schedule that they can kind of carry into Big 12 play. But I definitely think it's a big year. I think it's a big year for them. I think it's a big year for that program. I think it's a big year for that coaching staff. And I'm just hoping again, Eddie, that they can be more competitive in the Big 12, and that they can really kind of build off of some of the good things they did last year, because they did do some good things last year. But you've got to build off of that, and you got to take the next step from that. And that's really gonna be the biggest thing that I'm looking for with them.
Yeah, looking down this roster, 10 seniors coming into this year for Casey Women's Soccer, so they are loaded with veterans there. Of course, a couple of talented juniors as well. Not to mention, I have not mentioned Marissa Wetchel yet, who is a senior, one of those 10 seniors who have not mentioned yet in the preseason yet. So hopefully she will have a big impact. She led the team in goals last year as well. So hopefully she will be ready to rock and roll next Thursday night. But yeah, this is a veteran team, Alex, and you hit on it, man. You're right. Seventh year, and we've seen this from the ground up. Mike DeBene's done a decent job with this team. But now you want to see the fruits of your labor start to pay off here, and you got a veteran team here on campus for this women's soccer team, and we're gonna find out right off the bat. Northwestern last year, only 7-9-1 a year ago, but still, it's a Big Ten team. You want to get the games at home. You want to start off your right foot, like they always say. The old saying goes, right? Any sport, you want to start off on the right foot, and that definitely with soccer, women's soccer. K-State women's soccer team will look to do that next Thursday night. I'm looking forward to it.
And I am too. And again, the point that I'm making, they did some, they had some good moments last year where they definitely did some nice things. But I mean, they still ended the season 6-10-2 and 1-6-2 when it came to Big 12 play. And you just got to be able to be more competitive, in my opinion. Than that. And then you look at the season before that, they went 3-9-2, 3-6 in Big 12 play. And then even if you go, back pre-COVID with things, they were 13-2, 1-8 in Big 12 play. So again, you need to see improvements, on these things. They didn't win a Big 12 game in 2018. So, you just want to see improvement. And I think last year was really probably the best year they've had yet, Eddie, getting six wins.
Yep.
But they still only won one Big 12 game. So it just gets back to the point where, yeah, you've done some nice things, but you're going into year seven, you got to be more competitive than 1-6-2 in Big 12 play. You've got to be more competitive than that. And so, again, you mentioned, Eddie, there's some veterans on this roster, and you just hope that, they can kind of – come in big, and they can help you maybe close out some games that you weren't able to close out last year. And, when you look at the statistics, Eddie, they were in a handful of their matches.
They were, yes, sir.
They were. I mean, if you literally – and it's a really simple stat, but if you just look at goals for the season, K-State 20 goals, their opponents 24 goals on the season. I mean, that's almost a 50-50 split, but you finish 6-10-2. That tells you something about how you're doing in some close matchups. You're on the short end of a lot of them. So, got to be able to close some of those matches out. You've got to be able to get some, either get a draw if it looks like it's going to be a loss, or, find a way to get a win in those close games or those close matches. But just got to be better than that. If they come out, Eddie, and they only win one Big 12 game or two Big 12 games, finish with 5-6 wins. I just, at that point, I think you're sitting there thinking, okay, what do they need to do to get this program to rise up a little bit more. But hopefully, I mean, you know, I'm optimistic, though. I'm optimistic that they can take that step. So hopefully they can, and hopefully it starts with beating Northwestern a week from tonight.
Yeah, and this core of ladies on this team want to take that next step. Well, you got to get it done. And next Thursday night will be a good time to do it. We'll talk about it when this first matchup wraps up. A week from tonight, as we record this podcast, Northwestern coming here to Manhattan, Boosier Family Park, 7 p.m. Central Time. Everything gets started there. K-State soccer kicks off the Kansas State Athletics 2022-2023 campaign for all sports. So huge there on that. And then, of course, no rest for the wicked, right? Sunday, they'll host Northern Colorado. Still talking about soccer, folks. Here on the Pro Project Podcast, Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden. Two games in 4 days at home. So I don't at the moment I don't know last year Northern Colorado's record from last year. So yeah, an opportunity to get off on the right foot. And in volleyball, with their preseason matchup in between next Friday night at Bramlage against Wayne State from Nebraska. A team that I mixed up with the soccer team. So, but volleyball, yes. K-State volleyball. They began their practice a little bit this week as well. So they're getting ready for a big season as well. They'll host Wayne State, and of course they got the K-State Invitational in a few weeks as well. So Alex, things are really starting to heat up around here, around campus.
Hey, already, it's that time of the year. Look, the calendar turned August, and let's roll, man. You know, it is time for the fall sports calendar, and things are going to begin this month. Things are going to begin happening this month. Definitely excited about that. Also, kind of bullish on what the volleyball team Eddie can do this year too, coming off of a disappointing season last year. Man, Eddie, I feel like we've been a handful of times we're talking about it. This team's going off disappointing season. Hopefully they can turn it around. But it did feel, even though they made the NCAA tournament, it did feel like it just wasn't really the typical Susie Frisk-esque type of season that you would expect. And so I think that they're going to bounce back. I think I made a comparison that I kind of see them doing what the women's team did a couple of years ago. Well, not a couple, it was last year. So it wouldn't surprise me if we saw something like that with the volleyball team. You mentioned everything's picking up. You got soccer, you got volleyball. We got other sports here kicking up. And then early in September, we're going to have football as well getting underway. And so, we got practice. We got the practices going. In full force right now for the football team too, and so just an exciting time, a lot of buzz around summer sports, and I think we're all eager to get them going. And Eddie, I just wanted to make say one other thing about the soccer team too here before we pivot. Just taking a quick look at their schedule from last year, they lost. It was four of their Big 12 losses were by one goal. And kind of getting back to the point that we talked about, you've got six losses in Big 12 play last year. Four of them are by one goal.
That's where you
want to take the next step, right, Eddie? You want to turn some of those losses into wins this year.
Yep.
Because you're close. We mentioned it. They were close last year. They were in pretty much every matchup that they had. Their worst loss, was a three-goal loss, and that's not that bad. That's not that bad. They had a three. They lost. What was it? 3-0 against Indiana. So I mean,
that's your worst loss.
Yeah, it's your worst loss. That's nothing to hang your head about. So that's where you want to see them turn. And I think Eddie, what you want to see them is just score more goals, because they got shut out against Texas. They get shut out against Texas Tech. Shut out against Purdue, shut out against Indiana, shut out against Baylor, shut out against Oklahoma State, shut out against Iowa State. A lot of shutouts. You average 1.1 goals a game, you need to score a little bit more. So hopefully their forwards can go out there and they can score a little bit more. But eager for them to get going, eager for the volleyball team to get going. I do think, Eddie, again, I do think they're going to go out and do their thing. But we mentioned the volleyball team. We mentioned this. I'll tease another podcast that we had earlier in the summer that I also don't remember what it was. Not the archive. But we talked about them in depth. We talked about their non-con schedule is going to be a test because they're not just playing a handful of good teams. They've got a lot of tight turns as well, and a handful of tournaments that they're playing in. And I think that's going to be a good test for them. A good test for them early. That's really going to prepare them, in my opinion, for that Big 12 play, because they've obviously got the K-State Invitational, where they are going to have. Oh my gosh, I think it's like what is it? Two matches in 2 days.
Yeah, they're supposed to have 3 matches in 2 days. Yeah, so doubleheader. I know from memory. I think it's a doubleheader on one of the days. I think it's I can't remember exactly, but a doubleheader one day, and then the next is a single match.
Yep. I think you're right. You got 3 in 2 days there, doubleheader on one day. Then you got 3 in 3 days in the UCF challenge.
Yep.
Then you turn right back around a couple of days later and play Mizzou, and then you turn right back around and you go play in the Rambler challenge. And you've got now a 3 in 2 days with a doubleheader as well, and then you turn around a couple days later and play UMKC, which everybody calls Kansas City now, but they're UMKC. Come on. And then you've got the Adidas Invitational, where you got 2 games in 2 days, and so you're playing good teams on quick turns for really a month straight, or 3 weeks straight. So that's going to push them. We talked about it more in depth in an earlier episode. But that's going to push them, and that's going to really challenge them, I think, in a good way. And I could be wrong. We'll be sitting here, and they're non-con. They'll be like 2-8, and I'll look like an idiot. But I think it's going to push them in a good way, because I think it's going to prepare them, because they're going to be playing a lot of matches against a lot of good teams. And then when you get into Big 12 play, you're going to be playing good teams, but you're not going to be playing that same pace and veracity. You will have gone up against competition. It's on par with Big 12 competition, and you're going to be having a match and getting 3-4 days off in between every match, and you're going to have no more than one match. And so I think that is going to be something that really helps and benefits them. So I'm eager for them to get their season going too, Eddie. And you mentioned it starts with Wayne State there on the 19th, which is just right around the corner. And mentioned the 26th, they're going to get things going in 26th against Sam Houston, and off will be.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly with Eddie Greer and Alex Aiden.
Episode 113 of the Purple Project Podcast Weekly rolls on here on this Thursday night, August 11th, 2022. Alex Aiden out there in San Diego, California. Eddie Greer here in Manhattan, Kansas, as usual, for this podcast covering all things K-State. Perfect example right there, folks, for you. So definitely, you love your K-State sports, definitely make sure you subscribe to this podcast. Better do it. This is right now, pretty much. So what Alex was referring to, we have talked a lot throughout the summer about soccer, volleyball. Definitely, you missed out on any content, definitely go back and check out the archives of the summer. A lot of good content there. A lot of good content to come on this podcast as well. Exciting time to be a K-State Wildcat. That is for sure. Switching gears now back to the football field, folks. If you have not noticed already, it's out on the Purple Project Podcast feed. Chris Kleiman spoke to the media back on Monday. It was posted yesterday for you guys, so it's the conference in its entirety. So that's something new to the podcast this fall, is we will have every Chris Kleiman quote and conversation in conference this season. I know all the coordinators are going to speak, but if Van Malone does speak, I will try to do my best to get that as well. But the main focus is our head coach Chris Kleiman in his fourth season. And as we've noted on this podcast, huge season for Chris Klieman coming in this year, as he's talked about himself in that conference. His most talented team yet since he's arrived here in the Little Apple, and rightfully so. There's first-round talent everywhere, and we are not done with the K-State roster yet. We're almost done, folks. Tonight, secondary time, baby, for our roster breakdown continues here. Again, going back to the previous episodes, we've talked about the offense. We talked about the linebackers and defensive line last week more in depth. Go back and check that out as well. And then tonight, the secondary. Obviously, don't have my notes up here yet. I'm going to do that while I'm talking. You bring back your corners back. We talked about that pretty much all, every week, it seems like. Julius Brents and Echo Boydo. Echo Boydo, very interesting note on him. I probably was aware of it, but not at the time. But I know it was brought up in another podcast, K-State podcast. But Echo Boydo has started every game at corner since he moved to that position. I thought that was interesting there. Of note,
the injuries in 2020, wasn't it?
Yeah, injuries. Yep, he was there because of injuries.
2020 opened the spot, yeah.
Yeah, injuries. And then ever since then, Echo has been solid at that position. And no doubt, for sure, when you have passing quarterbacks in this league here, let's see, do I have that list up here yet? Obviously, the talent of quarterbacks in this conference, when you look at, I'll put Jalen Daniels. Yes, I did. I put him in here. Hunter Deckers from Iowa State, Blake Shapen, who we saw last year, Baylor, Quinn Ewers, in that interesting quarterback battle with Archie Manning, Max Duggan, JT Daniels, several more. I'm probably leaving off, but you get the gist. There's always big, good quarterback play when it comes to the Big 12. You gotta have speed, you gotta be solid in the back end. And we have two good corners here with Julius Brents, press coverage with those guys, and then the big question marks. Obviously, we've talked about it all summer long in this podcast, folks. If you have not noticed already, if you haven't, well, jump on board, because the safeties is a big question mark. Obviously, you have I mentioned it last week, Colby Salvage. I've been impressed with him. Josh Hayes, according to the depth chart I have up here, still in the first team. Now, obviously, we're 22 days away from opening kickoff of the season for K-State against South Dakota. And I'll be there, so I'll be paying attention definitely to the back end. Don't worry.
I don't know if Eddie will be there texting us all his updates as the game goes.
That's not happening because of the poor service.
And now Eddie can't get service in the bill.
Can't get service. But I will definitely... we'll be paying attention to that. Obviously, there was one name that Chris Klieman brought up in that press conference on Monday, and that was Omar Daniels. He was very impressed with him. Omar Daniels was coming off an injury as well. So that's going to be interesting to follow as well. Sean Robinson, the transfer from Missouri, who has been back and forth between the secondary group and the linebackers. Chris Klieman said, well, based off the tape that they watched through the summer workouts, they moved him to the linebacker spot. It'll be interesting to see if they're gonna switch him, be kind of that rover like keep him at linebacker, but also kind of be roaming around the secondary as well. Kind of wanted to see if they keep doing that. I know they want him at up front, be closer to the line of scrimmage because that's his strength. But also he came as a DB. As well, so you want to be that depth that we've been talking about all summer long, and we'll continue to talk about it going into the season. You gotta have that diverse background, if you will. So, I mean, I didn't see that as well, but yeah, I liked it. Again, if you put up the secondary against any offense, the first team, I like our chances. But again, the question mark is staying healthy. Once again, the injuries pop up here and there. You can't control those whatnot. But the biggest question, I think, is once again, I think the depth is there in the back end. The question is this experience. And these guys, especially these safeties, Kobe Savage, Josh Hayes, they're going to be thrown in the fire maybe not as much as South Dakota. They're getting their feet wet. But I haven't taken a close look at Missouri. I'm going to be starting doing that. I need to start doing that. Missouri, I know, obviously, that's going to be a test for these guys. And then, I've been thinking about this a little bit, Alex. With the schedule. And we got our predictions podcast coming up in a couple weeks, right? So, obviously, with Tulane, everyone was going to be thinking about Tulane and overlooking Oklahoma with Tulane.
Nevada of this year.
Yeah. Let's not, with that big time game Missouri looming, let's not overlook South Dakota. Now, obviously, I haven't paid. Maybe I'll dive on into their roster a little bit more as we get closer. But let's not overlook too far ahead of that Missouri matchup because South Dakota. I don't know their record or whatnot, but hey, we gotta be ready to play right off the bat. I think this team will, but there's always that you got that thing in the back of your mind saying you cannot be asleep in the season over. You can't with this veteran team. I don't expect that, especially we got leaders on this team like a Daniel Green, Adrian Martinez, Deuce, Malik, Felix, right? Ty Zittner, those guys, right? So Eli Huggins, I've named quite a few, right? So I don't expect them to lay flat, especially with Missouri looming. So I kind of wanted to bring that up a little bit, especially with that big game looming, with all the attention on that game. Let's not forget about South Dakota.
That's fair, because let's remember about Southern Illinois last year. Holy moly, they just about lost Southern Illinois. I'm just gonna be 100% honest, Eddie. They're lucky they walked out of that stadium with a win against Southern Illinois because they very easily could have lost that game. And there's another game that comes to my mind in 2012, my sophomore year, which would have been your senior year, Eddie. They had a game that they almost dropped. I believe it was against North Texas. I want to say it was North Texas, and it was like the last non-con game of the year, and I think they had Miami the week before. Just rubbed them, just beat the brakes off them in Manhattan, like by 30, 40 points or something. And then they had that game against Oklahoma, that big game, I think, against Oklahoma to kick the season off. But in the middle of that was that North Texas game. I think it was North Texas. I may be wrong, but I think it was North Texas. And that game was really dicey for a long time. K-State found a way to win it, but it was a dicey game. And that was a really, really good K-State team. They went 11-1. They went 11-1, and they won the Big 12, and they were number one in the country at one point. So that was a good football team, and they struggled against North Texas. So it can happen. So I think you bring up a good point. People are going to talk about the Tulane game because Tulane's a notable program. They almost beat Oklahoma and Norman last year. They've had some really good teams. They've played in some bowl games. People know who they are. They're going to be the Nevada of that schedule. There's no doubt about it. That's going to be a big game. Look, the Tulane game is going to be a big game. There is no denying it, and I think there is the potential for a trap there. But at the same time, Eddie, I look at the schedule, and I'm with you. South Dakota, maybe that could be Southern Illinois. I mean, that could be Southern Illinois last year, where, that was your first game of the year. You were coming off that big win against Stanford, but that was your first game in the Bill. You were there in the crowd. They're dominating. Skyler gets hurt, and the train just derailed off the tracks, man. And it looked like they were going to lose there for a long time, and they came back to win. That was a good Southern Illinois team. That Southern Illinois team was ranked in the top 25 there in the FCS level. But with the South Dakota team, Eddie, they went 7-5 last year. So they weren't, I was doing a little looking when you said that. They weren't bad. They're not necessarily like a dominant FCS school, but they're not bad. And they got some big wins. They went on the road and beat number 18 Missouri State. They went on the road and beat number 16 Northern Iowa. That's what I meant to say, by 13. And they also beat number 7 South Dakota State at home, and then they and they also had a couple other Really impressive wins, a 21-point win against Western Illinois on the road. And so they also went to KU and just about beat KU and Lawrence. They ended up losing that game by 3. KU came back and won that game late. It was actually to open the season. It was the first game of the year, South Dakota at KU. South Dakota was winning almost that entire game, Eddie. But yeah, KU came back and they scored the game-winning touchdown. And came back to win that game at the end. So they just about got a Big 12 win. Yeah, granted, is K-State better than KU? I think they are. But look, you get the point that you know they've got that ability. I don't think they're as good, Eddie, as Southern Illinois was last year. That was a pretty good Southern Illinois team.
That was, yep.
But still, I think that you're right, Eddie. You want to come out, you want to be focused, and you want to take care of business, right? You want to you go out, get Adrian the reps that he needs, get Deuce the reps he needs, get an early lead, maybe get some young guys in there in the second half and get them some snaps. That's the way you ideally, I think, want that game to go. And for it to go that way, you got to come out and be focused. Is K-State a better team? Yes. Are they bigger? Are they stronger? Are they faster? Yes, yes, yes. Come out and show it in the first half, play focused, get the young guys some snaps, and then you go in against that, then you can get ready for Missouri. So I'm definitely with you on that. And then quickly on the secondary, you mentioned it with the corners. Julius Prince, Echo Bordeaux, we know they're the top two guys, they're your booking corners. They're going to be on the field a lot of snaps, and I got a lot of confidence in both of them. I do have a lot of confidence in both of them. I think Echo Bordeaux, not as many people are talking about him as they are Julius Prince. Julius Prince has some more of the measurables that can maybe translate to the NFL. So, you know, you hear him getting some talk because he's just built. He's just built just perfectly for a corner. Real long, lanky. Got good height. He's just a really good build for a corner, and really has potential to be a lockdown type of guy. But look, you got Jordan Wright coming in here. He's a transfer, I believe. I think it's Fullerton that he's coming in from. But Omar Daniels is the biggest thing that caught my eye too, or caught my ear and eye, whichever you want to say. Was that was the guy that Chris Klieman was really like, that's who we see. Now, was he blowing smoke to us? Maybe. You know, maybe he blowing some smoke to get some other teams having to scout another guy, another guy to look for, playing chess with other coaches. But I don't think so. I think that he does he was talking real high about O.R. Daniels and in that press conference. Clearly thinks a lot of him. Been in the program a while. Knows the defense well. They clearly thought that he was going to be a good player before he got hurt. And look, you know, you're going to need a third guy. You're going to need a third guy. And based on what Chris Klieman said, I think that Omar Daniels is probably in line to be your third guy unless it's someone like Jordan Wright does get that nod. Justice Clemens is in there as a junior, but outside of him, you'd be really relying on a couple freshmen at the cornerback spot. And Jacob Parrish, Colt McAllister, don't think that you'll likely see anything from them. So, again, I'm with you, Eddie. I think they've got depth at corner. I don't know how much depth they've got, but they've got some. And then, obviously, you mentioned with in the safety position with Sean Robinson. I think you're right. If you can have a piece like that who can move around a little bit, that gives you a little bit of versatility, Eddie, because you can have the perfect spot cut out for Sean Robinson and say, okay, do we want to be a safety, but we saw this build, we see that our linebackers are not very good, we need more linebacker depth, so we're going to move Sean Robinson up here to linebacker. That's not exactly what he said. That's what I'm saying. So we're gonna play him up here closer to the line. You can have that idea, Eddie, but that doesn't mean that's the way things are gonna break. Season happens, injuries happen. You need to move guys around. you've got somebody who's got the ability to move back into that back end if he needs to. And he's also got a guy that you can move him around. You mentioned you can kind of be like a rover type of guy. You can move him around to the front of the end of the defense, back end of the defense. And then the offense may not know what he's doing, where he's lining up, what he's – I mean, that is unpredictability. We've talked about this before in the podcast before, but unpredictability that is so key. Confusing that offensive line, confusing those receivers and those running backs, and just getting a little exotic with your looks. And even, you know, you can use that to your advantage. If someone doesn't know exactly what someone like Sean Robinson's going to do, is he going to drop back here? Well, he's lining up the secondary, but, you know, all of a sudden maybe they bring closer to the line of scrimmage. Oh, what does this mean? Or, you know, okay, they're going to give me this type of look and this type of scheme. Like, you can really screw with an offense. So I think that is a perk for them. But I'm with you, Eddie. I'm eager to see the way they use him. I think they will use him more a linebacker, but I am eager to see the way they use him there. And then safeties, just quickly, we touched on this last week when we were going through things. But, you know, you're starting a whole new set of safeties. I'll just kind of reiterate what I said last week. Go check out last week's episode as well.
Yep.
I really do like the potential in the safeties. I think the bigger question is replacing all your safeties, getting the continuity, finding a grouping that you like, finding players that you like in those roles. And that's going to, I think, take a little bit of time to kind of work that out. So that's a question mark. There's no doubt about it. It was one of my questions coming into the season. But I am optimistic in what they have there, that they can find a grouping that works. And look, Sean Robinson's part of that.
Yep. So pretty much, yeah, we've been talking about them pretty much almost every episode of secondary. So there's definitely some depth back there as well. Let's not forget about T.J. Smith. Who's on?
Yeah, according, I'm bullish on him too.
Yeah, I've been bullish on him as well. Yep, we've been both been bullish on him on this podcast. He's on the first team as well, so it's gonna be interesting. We'll see what rolls out. Obviously, Brents and Boydo, we know what you're gonna get out of those guys. But when we see kickoff September 3rd, 22 days, we'll see. With safeties come out first. That's going to be a key right there to keep our eyes on. But hopefully, I mean, going back to what you said, Alex, you want that South Dakota game to go with a little bit of ease in there instead of, you know, panicking going in the second half of the and playing a full game, if you know what I'm talking about.
You don't want to have to run Deuce out there 30 times to make sure you get that win the way they did against North Dakota. That's not ideal. If Deuce could get 10, 15 carries, you know, he's out by the end of the third. Like, I'm good with that. You know, I think that's a better scenario than having to literally ride him through the second half and ride your defense through the second half of this thing. One more thing, just one quick note, and I know it's not secondary related, but I definitely wanted to mention it. We talked about Khalid Duke last week a little bit, and Chris Kleiman talked a lot about Khalid Duke in that press conference. So I encourage you I'm just apparently Mr. Promoter today. Go check out the press conference on the daily that Eddie posted, because talked a lot about Khalid Duke and that Khalid's going to be ready. Khalid's going to be ready by week one. But they're thinking long term, Eddie. They're thinking long term, long haul, and it's more important for him to be ready in November. You know, him to be healthy in November, December than just through January. So for me, I'm optimistic to hear that they're happy with where Khalid is at, and that they are confident that he's going to be ready to go like week one. That's a bit of a relief for me. But also, they made it sound like kind of what I was initially thinking they might do. Maybe a part time player to start. Maybe you use him as a pass rush specialist early on, and then you kind of ease him in the more comfortable that he gets as the season goes, and also to kind of keep the tread off the tires a little bit. I'm encouraged by what I heard on Khalid Duke, and definitely just wanted to make a note of that, because he's going to be an important part of this team and where they go defensively.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Episode 113 continues the Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition. Eddie Greer in Manhattan, Kansas. Alex Aiden out there in San Diego, California. My co-host for the weekly edition of this podcast. And another note here before we're almost into the red zone here, folks, on this podcast. Another thing to note as well goes back to the offense. Particularly, who's going to be backing up Deuce Vaughn, right? So, in that press conference, also that caught my attention a little bit, is Chris Kleiman did say DJ, I cannot think of his last name. DJ Giddens, yes, DJ Giddens, Jordan Shippers are in the mix for the backup spot, along with our guy, Anthony Frias, who's on his podcast. Again, go back, check that out. So all of them. So the question has not been answered yet on who's going to be back
up. Wide open, Eddie. I think that's where he is.
Yep. So definitely the next couple weeks are going to be critical. Critical might be a brutal, too forward of a word, but it's going to be a huge for those guys to see which Chris Kleiman and that offensive Klein, which way they go. It's going to be interesting. That's a battle to keep an eye on.
It is, and it seems like they're really bullish on Giddens. I've heard a ton of stuff about Giddens, and I really thought Anthony Frias had the inside track on that, but
yeah, me too.
As much buzz as I have heard around DJ Giddens, I have heard so much from so many different beat reporters and from the coaching staff, and every time I hear Chris Kleiman talk about it, the first guy he brings up is Giddens. First person I hear when I hear beat reporters talk about it, they bring up DJ Giddens. It seems like there is a they really like the coaching staff really likes Giddens. I think that's also getting back to some of the reporters as well. And so it just makes me wonder if Giddens might actually have the inside track there instead of Frias. And so I'm really intrigued to see what happens at that running back position, because Anthony Frias, I would absolutely love to see Anthony Frias come be the dude, just play great. Ball out. But look, if you can get something from DJ Giddens, who's a freshman, granted it's a redshirt freshman, but still a freshman, that would be big. Having a guy who you can rely on when you've got a bit of uncertainty potentially at the position in 2023, if you can have a freshman who has, has had some success, I think that is something that could be really beneficial and valuable to this team. Is he going to break out, or is whoever going to break out behind Deuce? Probably not, because they're probably not going to get enough touches to break out. But still, if you can do similar to something like what Joe Irvin did, that would be huge. That would absolutely be huge. The same thing goes for Anthony Frias, too. Anthony Frias can do the same thing. He can come in 2023 and provide that as well. But just interesting to see all the hype. I should say hype. That's not the right word. All of the mentions, all of the discussion around DJ Giddens is just interesting. Kind of caught me off guard a little bit. I think that on the offensive side, that's what I'm most intrigued by. What happens at RB2. And also, Eddie, let's not rule out the fact they may go three running backs. That's what they did Chris Kleiman's first. They did his first year here. They had a really effective three running back set. I definitely think the way Chris Kleiman likes to run the football, three running backs will be used. I think that's also a possibility where you may get a situation where Giddens, Frias, and Deuce are all getting touches at some point in the game.
Yep, that's a good point. Yeah, we mentioned that this summer as well.
Especially if they're moving Deuce around. Because we've heard them talk a lot about moving Deuce around and getting him the ball in a bunch of different ways and using him at receiver some. If you do that, that's going to open up more running back snaps.
Yeah, and you've been a preacher of that ever since Deuce hit on campus. And it seems like every year we've been campaigning that. Move Deuce around in space, get him the ball. And Chris Kleiman also mentioned that as well. Go back, K-State Nation. Go back, check that episode out before you listen to this one. There's some good stuff in there in that press conference.
And what did Thad Ward say? Like, that's pretty good coaching if you're putting the ball in 22's hands, because he was interviewed yesterday and he's K-State's receiver coach, and he was asked about putting Deuce out there at receiver, and he was like, hey, putting the ball in 22's hands, that's just good coaching.
Yep.
Okay? Yep. Your receiver coach is saying that, that's telling me that Deuce is probably going to get a little bit of run at receiver.
Yep, that'll tell me that as well. So
and it is good coaching.
It is good coaching, yeah. You want to put your ball best. You want to put the ball in your best player's hands. That gives you the best chance to win. You hear this all the time. Same thing here in Manhattan, Kansas. Deuce Vaughn. There's going to be a lot of attention drawn on him, but still, you want to put the ball in his hands. Get him in space and let him go to work. Let him go to work on those guys. So it's going to be interesting, man. It's going to be exciting, man. I'm really excited to see how this offense kind of built. I said this last week's show. Again, momentum. I wanted to see, interesting to see how this KC offense as a whole can build from what they did to LSU earlier this year in that Texas Bowl. So I'm excited for the offense. For
me
sure.
Too, I'm curious what it's going to look like. We still don't know what it's going to look like.
No.
Look, there's a handful of questions on the offense. What's it going to look like? How's Adrian going to look? Who's going to be your RB2? I'm here to see the answers to all of them.
Oh, yeah, definitely for sure with that jam-packed analysis here on the Pro Project Podcast. Tonight, we have entered into the red zone. Again, the Pro Project Podcast presented to you by Kansas 2022 will be taking place in St. George, Kansas, about a month from now, pretty much. In St. George, Kansas, there's going to be a lot of things going on. There's going to be a 3K going on first, I believe, and then you got activities in the little town of St. George as well. You're going to have food, activities, games, arts and crafts, and you're going to have country stars, singers as well. I don't know. Again, at the Recordings Podcast, I don't know. Hopefully, I'll know something for next week, because we got big shows next week planned out. So I will hopefully have the scoop for you guys, for those of you interested in coming out. But definitely, my guys at the Backroads Broadcasting are putting this thing on. They're doing a great job off of kind of short notice. So they're doing a pretty good job. They want to hit this one big. So definitely, especially when you put in country artists in the mix, you know you're hitting it big. So definitely, September 10th is the day. That is the same day as the Missouri game, which will kick off at 11. And hopefully we'll beat the brakes off Missouri. Then go celebrate in St. George. So pre-plan accordingly, folks.
Nothing says celebrate football Saturday like going to St. George, baby.
Nope, exactly.
Hell, go do it. Go out there. Go out. Sounds like a good time.
Yep. Ken, we'll be promoting that all the way through Missouri weekend. Skylar Thompson, we'll start off with him. A lot of buzz on our guy, Skylar Thompson, via Mitch Fortner. He's been keeping tabs on him. Skylar Thompson balling out here in a preseason play. He's third string, if my memory is correct on that. But so far, so good. He's been performing pretty well in a scrimmage play, Alex.
Yes, exactly. I look, the buzz around Skylar, it is real. I mean, that's a real thing. It's not just, you know, some K-State fans talking them up because, you know, they're being homers for Skylar Thompson, which is nothing wrong, by the way, for being homers for Skylar Thompson. I'm huge homers for K-Staters who play for the Chiefs. By the way, Elijah Lee, anyone who remembers Elijah Lee, is currently slated as a starting linebacker for the Chiefs. We'll see if that holds. But,
ooh, that's right. Okay, yeah.
Elijah Lee, maybe he's listed as the third linebacker right now for the Chiefs and the third of the three starters. So I think we'll see Elijah Lee and getting some run as that Chiefs defense this year. So Ema, baby. Anyway, Skylar Thompson. You know, it's not just K-State fans, Eddie, that are touting Skylar. I'm seeing national columnists, national writers, beat writers for Miami actually talking about Skylar. And I'm seeing them post videos of Skylar and what he's doing. And I think that one national writer might have even compared him to Kirk Cousins, saying, like, I didn't even know who he was a week ago. Now I'm looking at him and seeing potential, like, Kirk Cousins comparisons to him. Again, not saying that he's going to be Kirk Cousins, but just, like, as a comp. So point being, he's getting attention of people. And, look, did it surprise me, Eddie? No, it doesn't really surprise me. We know Skyler. We know how hard he works, how dedicated he is to his craft, I think he really thrives in that underdog role. He thrived. K-State, everyone wanted to write him off. I wanted to roll with Alex Delton, myself included. he proved us wrong. He made us look stupid for thinking that. Skyler Thompson is absolutely the guy for that quarterback gig. And he gets injured. And everybody says, oh, I guess they're annoying. Well, that's good career. Skyler, no. And he came back and first game back against Oklahoma, had probably his best passing game of his K-State career.
Yeah, he let Oklahoma up. Yeah, I was there. We were there for that. He shredded us.
Yeah. Shredded us through the year, Eddie. And granted, part of it was because he couldn't really run because of his knee. So that was part of it. He couldn't scramble. He couldn't. Let's be honest. Sometimes Skyler would bail a little early and a little earlier than he probably should have and use his legs just because he could. I think that game kind of forced him to stay in the pocket because he couldn't run. And he was able to stick with some reads a little bit longer and lo and behold, he shreds some defenses up. So, but point being, you see him when you think, oh, Skyler's done. No, he comes back. He comes back a week earlier than I think a lot of us thought and puts up that performance against Oklahoma. Really damn impressive. And, he has a clunker against Baylor on senior day, and he gets hurt, and the quarterback situation is a mess, and you're just like, oh my gosh, this is annoying. But then LSU, he comes out against LSU in a bowl game, and he goes out with a bang. So, I mean, look, Skyler, he's faced adversity a gazillion times. He got two major injuries at K-State. He faced, Bill Snyder kind of putting it through some rigmarole stuff. And I probably just made up a word, but whatever. Put him through a lot. And so it didn't surprise me that he comes out. He's at training camp, and he's proving people wrong. He's turning heads. You put him there as the number three guy, and, he's going to be excited to be there, but he's also going to have a chip on his shoulder and prove that he's there to stay. So does Skyler make the roster, Eddie? I don't know. I don't know if he does, but it's sure encouraging to see the way that the way that he's performing. And you would assume, and I could be wrong, but you'd assume at the least that he would end up on a practice squad somewhere.
Yeah.
The way he's been playing, I would think that he is probably putting himself in position to at least be on someone's practice squad this year if he doesn't make it on the 53-man for the Dolphins. So interested to see, because I do think it'll be tough. It depends what the Dolphins do, Eddie. How many quarterbacks do they keep? If they keep two, you might be in trouble because they've got Tua, and then behind Tua, they've got, who is it? It's a proven veteran, Teddy Bridgewater. So, look, Skyler's not knocking either one of them off. That's not going to happen. So Skyler's going to be your number three guy there. If he's on the roster. But the question is, number one, can Skyler get that number three gig, which I think he's in position to do. Number two, do they keep three quarterbacks or do they keep two? Every team's different. It just depends. Some of the more competitive teams tend to keep two because they want to keep an extra roster spot open for a player who they think may legit make a difference on the field. That's what the Chiefs have done the last few years. They've only kept two quarterbacks for that exact same reason. But who knows? Who knows, Eddie? And if they do keep three quarterbacks, I think Skyler's got a really good chance of making that roster. So I'm eager to see it, but just really happy for Skyler. And I just hope he continues it through training camp and then in the preseason games. Eddie would love to see Skyler come out here in the preseason games and really kind of replicate what he's done in practice.
Yeah, that'll be good. That'll be good. For Skyler Thompson to continue that confidence that he gained toward the end of the year. That is for sure. As I'm looking at the preseason week one here. As a preseason, speaking of preseason, kicked off tonight. with a couple games there. And speaking of Skylar Thompson, they're going to be playing against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers on Saturday. That's going to be a 6:30 kick Central Time. I don't know what that is, Pacific time there. So Skylar Thompson, we could see him there against Tampa Bay. So that's going to be good. See that as well. Speaking of, we'll stay with the NFL here real quick here. Falcons play the Detroit tomorrow at the recording of this podcast. Yeah, that's tomorrow. Where? Former K-State nose tackle Timmy Horn expect to get some playing time. In that one tomorrow, hopefully we'll see him because some critical injuries up front, some season-ending injuries to a couple of guys already for the Falcons there. It'll be an opportunity for Timmy Horn to show what he can do. I'm looking forward to that there as well. Let's go around. Chiefs play. They're at the Chicago this weekend for their first preseason tilt with a couple former K-Staters there. Brian Pringle of note. Who's on the first team, wide receiver, Duke Shelley, Cody White here. We're probably going to
see. And the Bears have a lot of K-Staters, don't they?
Yep, yes they do. Yep, three of them, to be exact. There.
Three of them.
I got the list pulled up down here, so I'm going to go right down to it. Wyatt Hubert trying to come back from injury from the defending AFC champion Cincinnati Bengals there, trying to bounce back there. Dalton Reisner. With hooking up with Russell Wilson, his new quarterback for the Denver Broncos there. A.J. Parker might be seeing maybe a series from here on too. Speaking of Detroit.
He was a really pleasant surprise last year, Eddie, because remember, he was an undrafted guy, and he ended up making that roster and actually was a good player for the Lions.
Yeah. Yes, he was.
Which reminds me, Eddie, I need to watch Hard Knocks, because I think the Lions are on Hard Knocks this year. Maybe we'll see A.J. Parker on Hard Knocks.
Maybe we'll see him. Maybe we'll see him on there. Okay, all right now. We'll see him on there.
Okay. Ema.
Yeah, Ema in the house. Keandre
my
Thomas.
My brother hates it. He'll hear me talk about K-State. And if you're just a K-State homer, I'll talk about him on the Chiefs roster. And I'll just be like, Elijah Lee, baby, Ema. And I'll be like, shut up, you homer. you better play him, Homer. He heard it all with Byron Pringle. Now he's going to get here with Elijah Lee. And look, I think I've even talked him into wanting to draft Deuce Vaughn. So I'm pretty proud of myself.
Nice. Keandre Thomas, that's kind of a forgotten name, folks. Corner for Green Bay. He's, according to this, he's third string right now. And you already brought up Elijah Lee. I was going to bring that up, but you brought that up. Appreciate you on that. Of course, Kansas City Chiefs, and that's a big get for the Chiefs there on that one. We haven't heard of the new other guy that got drafted. That's, I'm talking about Rush Yeast. He's third string right now for the defending world champion, Los Angeles Rams. I'm curious to see what Rush Yeast can do in the preseason, try to get himself up there in the more of the second team. I know that Rosh, that defense is stacked. So he's got a little mountain to climb there. But I'm intrigued to see what Russ can do and if he can get up there in a little bit of the depth chart a little bit.
Yeah, I'm high on Russ, Eddie. I think that he's really got the potential to be a player there Golly, I almost said St. Louis. They're not St. Louis anymore. And Los Angeles. No, they are relocated. And I think Russ Yeast, I think he's a special teams guy. And, I think he's going to be a really good special teams player. And I think I may have said that when we were talking on our podcast right after the draft. Go check it out, I guess.
Go check it out.
Go dig through even more podcasts. Go from right after the draft. I talked about Russ Yeast. I'm pretty sure, and really kind of the impact he can have special teams. I really think that he's not just a player who could be a solid corner, but a player who could really make an impact on special teams. And a team like the Rams who could use a good special teams player like that too. So eager to not just see what he does at corner, but also to see what he may do on any kick return, any punt return teams, kickoff teams, things like that. how does he do in some of those roles if he does indeed get that opportunity. So we're excited to see what he does. But I actually think he's got a role there for him carved out in LA if he is able to perform up to his expectations.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence with you on that. I think, he's a very good special teams player here at K-State. Special teams you next week on the Pro Project Podcast. I think he has a chance to make that special team squad. So I know the coaches emphasize special teams, so he's got a shot for sure. We already talked about Skyler already. Josh Rivas, third string guard. He was on obviously part of the KC offensive line for a few years here. And now you get, let me mount him out here real quick before I give the veterans. Briley Moore, fifth string tight end for Tennessee Titans. Cornelius Lucas, he's a second string tackle for the now new name Washington Commanders there as well. And then let's not forget about the veteran cats, folks. DJ Reed with his new squad with the New York Jets. And boy, New York Jets got themselves quite a squad there. DJ Reed's going to be joined by, of course, Sauce Gardner in that secondary, that loaded secondary one. Now, the New York Jets had themselves a pretty good draft this past year.
They did.
As well. So I'm interested to see if the Jets can start to kind of finally get out of that basement, out of that AFC East, I want to say?
Yeah, but the East is going to be more difficult because the Bills are probably going to be one of the best teams in the AFC East, or in the AFC. And then you're going to have the Patriots, who are going to be the Patriots. And then you got the Dolphins, who've got now Tyreek Hill with Jalen Waddle and some other players out there. Dolphins look pretty good, so I think the Jets are going to be a lot better, but that whole division, the whole AFC East division, Eddie, I think is going to be a lot better. They're not going to be like the AFC West, which is just like a grenade over there, but I think it is going to be a lot better just in general over there in the AFC East.
Yeah, I guess you kicked the field goal right there on that one. Yeah, everybody got better, it seemed like, but yeah, we'll see what the Jets can do a little bit there on that one.
Yeah, I like it. I like what they've done.
I like what they've done. I really like what they've done there on that. Of course, you got Tyler Lockett with Seattle Seahawks, Jordan Willis back with the San Francisco 49ers as well. So that's kind of the case. Where's K-State football players at? Former K-State football players at now in the NFL. We'll do our best to keep track of them. We know what Tyler Lockett's going to do, Jordan Willis is going to do, Elijah Lee, who's going to be in back playing with Kansas City this year. A.J. Parker, we know what he's going to do. Dalton Reisner, we know what those guys going to do. Cody Whitehair, Brian Pringle, those guys. But question marks, Salah Thompson, Timmy Horn, Rush Yeast, those guys got a lot to prove. Josh Rivas as well. So a mixed bag, folks. K-State Nation, mixed bag. We'll see what the former K-State Staters can do in the NFL this upcoming football season, man. Cannot wait.
Eddie, do you think Timmy Horn makes the roster?
Man, that is a good question. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. With the two injuries already, we lost one of our, well, I already talked about Eddie Goldman a couple episodes ago. Again, check that out. We got him. That was a big upgrade, and then decided to retire. And then we lost Vincent Johnson to a season-ending ACL injury. So we're already going through the defensive tackle list already. So Timmy Horn's got a shot at it here. It's going to be tight. It's going to be tight here. Timmy Horn's got to go out there and do his thing, and then stand out. It's a big one. So if you can do that, if you get chances in the preseason to go out there and perform and put that on tape, you'll have a shot at least to hopefully make the practice squad.
I was about to ask if you thought that he would at least make practice squad.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're thinking yes.
Yeah, I think if he performs well, I think he can make the practice squad. If he don't, they're going to cut him. But I think he has a shot to make the practice squad, in my opinion there. So, Falcons play Lions tomorrow, then on Saturday the Chiefs play the Bears. So a lot of NFL coming and a lot of college ball here in another month or so. So I'm looking forward to it, man.
It's going to be exciting, and you mentioned we've got meaningful preseason games underway now. I'm just thinking because that Hall of Fame game is not very not the most meaningful game. I don't feel like any starters ever play in that Hall of Fame game. But now we're actually getting some preseason games here underway here tonight. We'll obviously go in through the weekend where we're actually going to see some starters play. Now, I will say this, Eddie, more and more teams now are just sitting their starters through the entire preseason. That is a thing, but that is not a thing in Kansas City. I don't know about Atlanta or not, but in Kansas City, starters play part of the preseason. Andy Reid's pretty old school, so I mean, I know for the Chiefs, the plan is for the starters to play the first quarter in that game on Saturday, and then likely in that second game, they'll probably play the first half. And look, you know, if the Chiefs go out in the first series, Eddie, the offense goes out and has a great drive against the Bears, would Andy Reid potentially pull them and be like, you've done what you need to do, I'm content? He could, yeah. And it's typically how he operates. But you know, I'm excited to see, you know, some of these starters out here. And not just starters, but also a lot of these teams. Obviously, my Chiefs have this, your Falcons have it, a lot of teams have it. A lot of competitions going on, a lot of battles going on, and you want to see how some of those guys perform, who can win some of those open competitions that are going on in training camp, and you also want to see the depth that you have behind your starters, and how are they doing it? And for the Chiefs, particularly, Eddie, I think we all know this: the Chiefs had 12 draft picks this last year, and they ended up drafting 10 players. So the Chiefs have 10 players actually drafted that are on this roster. I would like to see these 10 draft picks. That's insane. They've had 6 picks like the last three, like the last 3 years, it's been like 6 picks each year, and then all of a sudden they've ended up drafting 10 players this last year. So I'm eager to see those young guys come out, how they perform too. So just again, not going to call it meaningful football because it's not, but we're actually seeing worth watching football with some stakes. Right, with the stakes attached to them, and you know, will have an impact on what happens when week one rolls around there, the first or second week, I think it is, of September. So, but it's an exciting time. We keep talking about it. It's an exciting time. You know, we hit August, and it's time for football. It's time for fall sports. It's a good time.
Yep, and then, of course, kind of answer your other question here before we wrap this thing up. Yeah, the Falcons, close to Arthur Smith, got a little heat last year of not playing the starters last year. This year is a different ball game. We're going to see the starters play a little bit more in this preseason, and everybody's going to get a chance to play. So that answered that question there. So, and that's probably why we started off as bad as we did in the regular season. So he got a lot of heat for that. But this year he was a new coach. He didn't even know any better, but he's trying to learn from his mistakes, and he's going to play everybody. So it's fair game. It's competition. Like you said, competition's all over the place, and big battles to be won. And I'm all for it. I'm all for competition, baby. So I'm looking forward to it.
100%. And I get coaches that are like, hey, you know, we want to be safe. We don't want our starters to get hurt. I 100% get that argument. I get why they don't want to play with a preseason in a meaningless game. But I do think that there is something where just knocking a little bit of that rust off in the preseason and being able to just get a little bit of live game action before you actually hit week one. I think that there is some benefit to that. I know that, you know, Patrick Mahomes, he talks about this every year, but he wants to get hit. Like, he wants to get hit before that season starts. Get that first hit out of the way. And that really kind of helps him mentally kind of get into a better zone. So I know that he wants to get out there just so he can get that first hit out of the way, just so he can get ready to roll. Because he can't get hit in practice. You know, quarterbacks don't get hit in practice. And so he hasn't been hit since the AFC Championship game. So, I know that that helps him. Just to kind of get that first hit out of the way, and so, and not have a couple week one, and just, like I said, small things like that. I think that there is a benefit to it. And he likes to just compete too, and get the juices, kind of get those competitive juices flowing in that live game action. rather than when something's not on the line, rather than wait until week one. But I understand both sides of it. I do. But I think that you do run the risk if you don't play anyone in that preseason of possibly coming out a little bit rusty or out of the gate. And typically, Andy Reid teams don't come out rusty out of the gate, and he does play his starters probably as much as anyone in the preseason. So I do think there is some benefit there if you can avoid the injuries and can not tip your cap, keep some vanilla looks. Only show vanilla looks.
Alright, folks, episode 113 of the Purple Project Podcast Weekly is a wrap in the books for this week. Big shows coming next week. We got two, in fact, for you guys, K-State Nation, coming. Two episodes next week. Those will be recorded respectively on next Monday and Thursday. And those episodes, be on the lookout for those Wednesday, and then, of course, our usual Friday slot as well. Big episodes for this show as well. Some good, great content to look forward to as well. But we've already done 113 of these things. Wow. We seemed like a few weeks ago we recorded episode 100. We're already 113 episodes in. Of course, with a regular season looming for football, of course, and everything else in between, it's going to be an exciting fall semester for K-State sports. I cannot wait to dive on in. Into this thing, man. It's going to be exciting. Eddie Greer here in Manhattan, Kansas. Alex Aiden out there in the city of California. Two K-State alums, folks. Been a fun one. Another jam-packed edition. We will literally talk all K-State from top to bottom. All K-State sports here in Manhattan, Kansas. Alex is going to close us out here. This is my last thought. My final words here. Again, next week, our Friday show, we'll have special teams. Now we'll pretty much wrap up the K-State roster breakdown for 2022. And then, of course, our predictions podcast.
It's time for predictions, baby. It's time for us to put the pen to paper for us.
Yep, that's right. And that means I got to start looking at these, familiarizing myself with at least most of these rosters here. We know the quarterbacks, obviously, for all these teams, but now time to dive on in here and get familiar, get comfortable, because this is going to be an exciting season of Big 12 football for K-State in particular as they try to compete to get themselves to Arlington this fall. Alex, close us out. Go ahead, close us out.
Yeah, Eddie, I just wanted to say, too, I thought it was funny that Chris Clyde had mentioned Will Howard two or three times again in his press conference.
Oh, no.
He just can't go without bringing him up. I don't understand what it is. I get it. He's going to play. We understand, okay? We get it. We don't need to talk about him competing with Adrian Martinez.
I need you to do that. I need you to bring him up at some point in this episode.
Well, you talked about him twice in the press conference. You talked to Nate, you got asked questions about Adrian Martinez, and he's like, I mean, that's what I love about, like, Will and Adrian, is like, they do this and that, like, they're going to really care. He loves Will Howard, man. He just can't not bring him up, and I'm convinced that we are going to see Will. We're going to see some Will this season. Like, he's brought him up too much for us not to. So, it's going to happen.
I do agree on that, unfortunately, yeah.
It's going to happen. Look, I hope he takes the next step. I am here for Will Howard taking the next step, man. I'm here for it. I am here for it. I'm just not holding my breath at the moment. But as you mentioned, Ed, we got two really exciting episodes next week. So, hopefully everybody can tune in and it's exciting time for K-State, and look forward to it, and maybe we'll have a Keontae Johnson announcement. I would love to be able to, for us to bring a Keontae Johnson announcement into the fold as well. So we are looking forward to next week, and we'll see you guys next time.
The whistle has sounded on another episode of the Purple Project Podcast.
Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll catch y'all on the next episode. Thank you for listening. Go Cats!